Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs to which him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has the foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Amen. Now, last time I was up here, my message came from the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, and it was about Abraham. It was about the test of Abraham. Now, for someone to have a test in their life, a major test, as did Abraham, you would have to be somewhere, maybe in the middle or towards the end of your walk of faith. But now, what if you weren't? What if you were more towards the beginning? What if you haven't even started a walk of faith? How can one start a walk of faith? Well, Abraham teaches us three different things here with his pilgrimage of faith. These three things is we have to leave, we have to live, and we have to look. Verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he did not receive, to the place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." Now, to understand what this promise was, to understand what the inheritance was, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." So, everyone just take this into perspective. God is telling Abraham to leave his parents, his friends, his family, everything that he grew up with, everything that he knew. Why was God telling Abraham to leave? Why are we to leave? What are we to leave? Well, to understand the context of this, we have to go back one chapter to Genesis chapter 11. If you start reading in verse 4, so now this is the story of the Tower of Babel, right? The entire people, everyone on earth, they decided that they were going to come together and they were going to make a civilization. And this is what it said, verse 4. They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." You see, what's going on here? These people, they're saying, you know, we want religion, but we want humanism. We want something that's human-centered, man-centered. We're going to build an organization, a civilization, and in the middle of this, we're going to put a place of worship. But what kind of place of worship is it? We're going to erect a tower that reaches God. You see, these people, they said, well, we have intelligence, we have science, we have logic, reason, technology. So let us build a tower that goes to God to show him that we can get to him. And then what does God say? The next verse, verse 5, it says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built." You see, they tried building up, but it doesn't matter how high you get. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how much you amass, how much you think you have achieved. No matter how high you think you get, God still has to come down to you, because we can never get that high. So God came down and he's looking around and he's saying, what are these fools doing? Well, you see, they were not only were they trying to have a self-centered religion or a man-centered religion. In Joshua 24:2, it tells us that they were also serving other gods. You see, they were pagans. So God tells Abraham, you need to leave paganism. You need to leave what's going on with this world. You need to leave the worldly desires. What these people are inspired to do, that's what you need to leave. You cannot stay here and be with me. You cannot be in the one foot in the world and one foot with God. You must leave the world. Now, a lot of us, we may want a life of faith. We might want to take a step towards the side of God. But we might want God to unravel something for us. You know, we don't want to go in the boat that's fully God. Instead, we might say, oh Lord, show me something that I know that I am doing right, or that I know that I am living in faith. Instead of just living in faith and seeing that God is delivering you. Now, there's this this story that kind of goes with this. It's a little comedic, so don't take this. It's not a real story, let me put it that way. It's a conversation between man and God. And you see, it's easy to live in faith when it's going according to your plan, right? Everyone could live in faith if everything that they thought was right and it happened that way. But now this was just a past day that this man had. And he goes and he's praying and he says, God, can I ask you a question? And God says, sure. And he says, why did so many things happen to me today? And God says, what do you mean? Well, he says, well, I woke up late. My car took forever to start. At lunch, they made my sandwich wrong and I had to wait. On my way home, my phone went dead just as I picked up a call. And to top it all off, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in a new massager and relax. But it wouldn't work. Nothing went right today. Why did you do that? You see, when maybe this is kind of like your situation, but you know, maybe the things that are not going right are a bit more dramatic, or maybe it's been going on for more than a day, maybe a week, a month, and you don't understand what's going on, and you're asking God, why would you do that to me? So God says, well, let me see. The reason you didn't wake up on time is because the angel of death was at your bed this morning, and I sent one of my angels to battle him for you. I let you sleep through that. And I didn't let your car start because there was a drunk driver on your road that would have hit you if you were on the road. And the first person who made your sandwich today, they were sick, and I didn't want you to catch what they had. I knew you couldn't afford to miss work. And your phone, it went dead because the person calling was going to have a false witness about what you said on the call, so I didn't even want you to go through that. Oh, and that foot massager, it had a shortage that it was going to throw all the power off in your house, and I didn't think you wanted to be in the dark tonight. So, and he apologized, and God said, you know, don't apologize. Just trust me in all things good and bad. You see, sometimes we might not understand why things are happening or the way that they're happening. But when God tells you that you must leave from this world, that is one step that we have to take. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying that we all go on this pilgrimage? We all move to some deserted location where there is no world influence? That's not what I'm saying. This is about leaving paganism. It's about leaving worldliness, desires, humanism. It's taking your foot out of the world. That's what this is talking about. Because in 1 John chapter 2, in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about if you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of God. You can't hang on to the world and hang on to God at the same time. Now, is God asking us to remove ourselves from society? No. Are we to not work, not have responsibilities? Of course not. But what are we to leave? We're to leave the attitudes and actions that leave God out, or that dismiss God. If something in the world that you do, you know, you wouldn't do it. As my mom said last night whenever we came to the internet, she said, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Don't do anything that I wouldn't do. I said, you do some pretty cool stuff, so I'll be fine. I'll be fine that night. So with that being said, you know, what motivation did Abraham have to leave? You know, what motivation do we have to just step one foot out of the world and go completely into the boat of God. Why would we do that? Well, Hebrews 11:8. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place, because he was to receive it as an inheritance. You see, God says, I have an inheritance for you. I have a plan. I have a will for you. I have a destiny for you. God has something for every believer. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. Now, that doesn't go to say that, you know, you're so special in a sense that if you don't do what you are called to do, that all of heaven's going to shut down. It has nothing to do with that. But God has a purpose for every one of us. And God wants us to live this purpose out. You see, if you're in this world, you might have some trouble. And you try to live in the church and in the world at the same time. You come to church, you pray. You don't hear heaven talk. You don't get answered prayers. It's because you can't live both in the world and with God. You have to leave the world. So you say, well, how would I know if I'm making progress? Well, you see, it comes from the inside. The more you're growing in faith, the less your passions are for this world, and the more your passions are for God. Now, how did Abraham leave? Right, this was his family. This was the people he grew up with. This was everything that he knew. You know, what you grow up with, that kind of forms the way you think. However, he heard the voice of God, and he obeyed it because of this inheritance. You see, let me tell you right now, if you're in the world, or if you're doing worldly things, or if you know someone that's doing worldly things, and they say, well, I don't know what to do anymore, just listen for the voice of God, because what God has to offer you is better than anything that this world could offer you. It doesn't even compare. So with that, the life of faith starts with a leaving of worldly desires. Moving on, it continues with a living. Verse 9 says, in Hebrews 11, verse 9 says, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs to which of him the same promise. So this is kind of different, right? So he gets the promise, right? He's going to be the father of a great nation. And he does what he's supposed to. He leaves, just like God asks. But then, where he's living now, he's living as a foreigner. He's living as an alien, so to say. You see, in the middle of this promise, he is not home yet. He's not home yet, because God is still working on him. You see, in our lives, God is always doing two things. When God gives you a promise, and then God puts you in the middle of it, the reason why you haven't received it yet is because you're not finished developing. So God is always making the promise ready for you, but he's also making you ready for the promise. We can't control the promise part. That's what God has for us. What we can control is how we act to it, how much we prepare ourselves, how close, how obedient we are to walking in faith, how obedient we are to God, to not being in the world. But you see, if you're like Lot's wife, looking over your shoulder, then you're not completely out of the world. With this, there's another little story I have. It's not real, so don't think that these stories I'm coming with are experiences that people have told me. But there was this woman who believed in God very much, and she bought this two-story house, and there were a bunch of warnings saying that there was going to be this massive flood, and it was going to be like no other flood ever. And there were many warning signs telling her to leave, get out of there. Everyone in that community, that is. And she said, no, I'm just going to stay here. And so it starts raining, it starts flooding, and in her two-story house, it's like on the first floor, and it's about like halfway. And a boat comes by, and it's like, okay, you know, you can come in, we can leave now, you'll be fine, you know, you'll be saved. you can come with us. And she says, no, God's gonna save me. He'll help me. Okay, so then it starts raining some more. She's up to her second story because there's so much water. And yet again, you know, another boat comes in. It's like, come on, you can come. You can come in this boat and we can go and you'll be saved. And she says, no, I'm going to wait on God. Okay, so then it keeps raining and she's on the roof of her house, right? And a helicopter comes and she's like, okay, you know, like, you need to come on because this is your last chance. No, I'm gonna wait. God's gonna take me out of this place. So it keeps raining. She drowns and then she goes to heaven. She's in heaven and she says, okay, Lord, why didn't you save me? And he says, what are you talking about? I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What do you mean I didn't save you? You see, whenever we're in the middle of the storm of the world, you know, God's not asking us to stay in there and to do what they're doing. He's telling us to leave. If we have the opportunity, if he gives us that opportunity to leave, you leave the world. That's the first step. And then you live in the world. You live in the promise that God has given you. Excuse me for that. Now, the problem is, and the problem with Abraham, that Abraham had, you see, we can be waiting for the promise, but we could also be delaying the promise. You see, he was in the middle of a promise. He got it when he was 75 years old. He didn't receive the promise for another 25 years. Now, why is that? He kept delaying it. What do you mean delaying it? Well, if you read the book of Genesis, you'll see that Abraham, he wasn't a perfect man. He did some mistakes, and he delayed it, and he delayed it. So one reason why you want to be obedient to God, obedient in faith, and trust God, not delay God's promise, is so you can get what God wants you to do early on. I think that's a good motivation. But if you need much delaying, you know, there's hope, because even after 25 years, God was waiting, okay? And God was waiting for him to come to his senses. And then once he came, God gave him his promise. You see, Abraham, like I said, he was living as a foreigner and an alien sort of in the land. And that's what we are here on earth. You see, God doesn't want us to settle here on this earth. He doesn't want us to become comfortable with whatever we're doing here on earth. You see, God is always developing us. And with Abraham, he moved him around a lot. You know, he said, you know, make sure you keep your shoes tight because all we're going to be doing is moving. And that's all Abraham did for a little bit. He moved around a lot. And every mountain, every valley that God took him through spiritually, it was developing him, getting him ready. You know, so maybe you might say, well, I don't know why I'm going through this, or I don't know why I'm going through that. It's because God is developing you, because you're not yet ready to receive the promise that God has for you. And then finally, a looking. Verse 10, he said, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder was God. You might be saying, okay, 25 years, you know, I don't know if I'd be able to last 25 years of waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't know if I'd be able to last 25 weeks, 25 minutes waiting, depending what it is. But how did Abraham do it? The way Abraham survived it is the same way that you and I will be able to survive it. You see, it's because where he looked. While he was waiting for his promise, while he was in the middle of all this, you know, waiting for his son to be born, waiting for some in his old age, he was looking to heaven. He was looking to heaven. And let me tell you a secret. When you look to heaven, everything on earth becomes easier. You see, this earth is passing away. This earth is passing away. We are passing away. Our flesh is passing away. So that's why whenever Satan comes to you and tempts you, and he gets you hooked on a little bit of something, he's got to up the dosage. He's just got to get you contained for just a long amount of time until everything passes away. You see, if you're only looking to the earth, if you're not looking to heaven, then this life is going to be miserable for you. I've heard many people say, oh, you know, the time to live is now, right? I'll become a Christian when I'm older. You know, I'll look to heaven when I'm older. No, it says that Abraham was looking to heaven. And he still had a lot of years to live left. He had not yet received his promise. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm going to wait for God to give me my promise, and then I'm going to look to heaven. No, he started by looking to heaven, and that's how he made it all the way through. You see, earth is temporary. Let us look eternally to heaven. And that way, what we do here on earth, it'll be in a better direction. Now, a couple more questions. How was Abraham able to do this? You know, how was he able always to look at heaven? You know, we live in the world, right? How can we every single day, all the time, be looking towards heaven? You know, it's easy here on Sundays when all we do is, you know, sing and preach and worship, when we get into this feeling of looking towards heaven. But how, during the week, how do we do this? Well, you see, if you know the story of Abraham, whenever he moved, he would build an altar to God. And an altar is kind of like a place where he went and he would worship. Every situation he had, everything he needed, he built an altar and he worshiped. And he said, okay, Lord, whatever I'm coming with, you know, just you and me, I'm going to worship you. So if you're leaving your altar at church on Sundays and you're not bringing it with you everywhere, you might fall. God says, if you leave and move towards me, keeping your eyes on King Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, then he will take you where you ought to be. He'll bring you to this place. You'll be able to receive your inheritance. You see, you have to leave the world. And once you leave the world, you have to live under God. You have to look towards him. You have to look towards heaven. And then he will deliver you home, because this is not our home. Now, the question is, do you want to still live in the world, or would you rather discover your destiny? The only way to answer this is you have to live by faith. Amen.